Sunday, the 7th of February, 2021. The passage this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Love is not rude. So welcome to you. Welcome to you if you're listening at home through the webpage. As we come to God's word, let us pray. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for your kindness in sending your Son into this world. Thank you that he is indeed the Word made flesh. Pray that we might hear his voice as we consider words that you have for us this morning. Amen. Well, the film Gold is all about an American gold prospector desperate to make his millions. He teams up with a man who has had some success working in Indonesia. They find gold, or at least they think so. As the news comes back to the United States, there is great excitement in the mining company and on the New York Stock Exchange. The extravagant living, however, is short-lived. The main character is this American prospector called Kenny. Kenny is often unshaven and unkempt. From start to finish, he comes across as fixated, forceful, abrupt. He often is seen with a cigarette in one hand and a drink in the other. He's slovenly. He lounges around. He's sloppily dressed, and if he does have a tie, it always is loose around his neck. In his approach to everyone, he comes up close. His language is often choice. Well, what kind of person is he? He's unloving. How can you say that? How do you know? You shouldn't judge by appearances. It's unfair. He may be very loving. No. No. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love is not rude. Was he rude? Well, when we hear the word rude, we think of speech, language. As we continue in our series on love is, we come to this, is not rude. And so it's centered around one word, rude. The word is translated rude because the words that fit best are no longer used in modern English. Let me show you why he is rude. The word in the Greek is askemoneia. The Authorized Version translates it here, love does not behave itself unseemly. This word actually occurs twice in the Bible, once here and once in 1 Corinthians 7:36. If any man thinks he behaves himself uncomely, let him marry. Or as the NIV has it, if he acts improperly. There then are the two occasions. One unseemly, one uncomely. Love does not behave in an unseemly way. Love does not behave in an uncomely way. The root of this word is askemoun and occurs once in the Bible only, in 1 Corinthians 12:23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honourable, upon these we bestow more abundant honour, and our uncomely, askemoune, parts have more abundant comeliness, says the AV. In our modern NIV we read, and the parts that are unpresentable we treat with special modesty. So this word rude is best understood as being uncomely or unseemly. Not familiar with them? No, nor are most. So let's turn up a dictionary or two. Having checked several, for uncomely, you find it means this: unpleasant to look at, not comely. Goes on to describe uncomely as not in keeping with acceptable standards of what is right or proper in polite society. He was buried with indecent haste or indecorous behaviour, language unbecoming to a lady. Other words or synonyms for uncomely would be grotesque, hideous, ugly, unappealing, unattractive, unbeautiful, unhandsome, unlovely, unpleasing, unpretty, unsightly, vile. Do the same for unseemly, and you have not in accord with accepted standards of decency or morality in an improper or inappropriate manner, not suited to the circumstances, unattractive, unsightly. And an example is given. The point at which the wall of the suburban houses meet the lawn is quite unseemly and must be covered up with those stunted trees. And so synonyms for unseemly would be improper, unbecoming, indelicate, indecent, indecorous. Well, that's a fairly long way of explaining what it means, but now we know, we can apply that to the character in the film. Is this man rude? Definitely. Is he unloving? Certainly. He is unloving. And we've seen, haven't we, that love is patient, love is kind, it is not proud, etc. So whether it is words, actions, or attitudes, everything is for the good of the other person. For love is other-centered. So here it is, how we rightly relate to each other. So here in our passage this morning, it is to do with how we rightly relate to each other. Love is careful not to pass the bounds of decency. Love never acts out of its own place or character. Love observes due decorum and good manners. It is never rude, rough, or brutish, and is ever willing to become all things to all men, that it may please them for their good and education. In other words, as the Latin Vulgate version reads, love is not ambitious. It does not seek self-honour and applause, but rather is lowly, meek, and humble. The proper idea of the phrase is that it prompts to all that is fitting and becoming in life, and would save from all that is unfitting and unbecoming. The world loves to shock, highlight the bizarre, the strange, and every distortion and perversion. Love does nothing base or vile. It actively stands against anything that will be a violation of decorum, decency, and delicacy. So we can see that rudeness applies in three areas: how we present ourselves, our demeanour or behaviour, and our words, speech, and conversation. So we have three headings: our appearance, our behaviour, and our conversation, A, B, and C. So the first of these, to be loving, is to be comely, that is, our appearance. How you dress expresses who you are. It is an area where you make choices, and what you choose, how you dress, affects those who see you. One BCM intern always dressed in black, and I sympathised with him because I used to as well. But he is a Christian now. How did that commend Christ? It doesn't. When he went door to door, how did that look to those who answered? The thing is, he'd given no thought to his appearance or his dress at all. Do you give thought to what you wear? Do you consider others, I should say, or just yourself? With the man in the film, his appearance reflected his character. He had no concern whatsoever for others, except that it might be for his own advantage. See, we live in a strongly do-what-you-want age. The punk with his Mohican is making a statement. In fact, it's a shout, actually. No one here like that, but in a lesser way, power dressing, striking clothes or jewellery, if not shouting, is still speaking. What does your appearance say? The word, while only twice in the New Testament, occurs four times in the Greek Old Testament and is translated bare, as in the shock of nudity. A house with an unkept front garden, slowly filling with rubbish, sends a message. It speaks about the owner to the neighbours. So also a man or woman in scruffy, unkempt clothes tells everyone. It speaks about your attitude to your neighbours. Love means we want to promote the good of all, and that means to avoid everything that would jar or draw attention to itself. Christians should never stand out in our choice of clothes, whether it's being scruffy or being ostentatious. The world says, well, that's my business. The don't like it then, get over it attitude. No, love for others means it's all our business. To have an untidy or dishevelled appearance shows no love for others, for behind that is carelessness, and a careless heart is an unloving heart. It could be you stand out in the sense of being peculiar, or it could be that you stand out against the conventions of the day. I mean, why did Paul say this to the church at Corinth? The term points back to the rebuke about the appearance of women in 1 Corinthians 11. And every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonours her head. It is just as though her head were shaved. Why? Because such a woman went against the conventions of the day, in which women cover their heads as a sign of femininity. The worldly man and woman spends their time trying to discover who they are, who they want to be, finding some image, finding some identity. But as Christians, we are to reflect our God-given identity. Now, I'm not saying that women have to wear skirts and men should be in a suit and tie, for in our conventions today, that is not necessary. Wearing a suit and tie can definitely be the wrong thing to do in some contexts. To dress in a way that makes a strong statement counter to the norm, to go against what is fitting attire for the time and place, is to be unloving. In the church, we have wonderful liberty. We do not have to conform to a strict stereotype or dress code. But I wonder if you, when you are choosing what to wear, think about how others will see you. Is it commending to Christ? Is your appearance unpresupposing, unostentatious? In other words, not fancy. No showy clothes or shoes. No power dressing. Not slick. We need to think about it. Secondly, to be loving is to be seemly. That is our demeanour. Just as clothes speak, so does our demeanour. How you see yourself shows in your body language. It reflects your attitude. Haughtiness, aloofness, indifference, hardness are all communicated to others. But so too is meekness and humility. Why did Paul say this to the church at Corinth? Paul is indirectly reproving the Corinthians for their attitude to the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anyone else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. In fact, later in chapter 14, the apostle has to rebuke those who possess gifts and who set themselves up above others. He says, in effect, if you love your brother, you will limit their use. One commentator said, they shamefully disregarded others with an unseemly haughtiness. To be so is unloving. Love is not ostentatious, but observes moderation and propriety. As we relate to others, it is our demeanour or deportment, how we carry ourselves, that communicates our love or lack of it. And this is especially so when the other person is very different from ourselves. So, how is your body language? What does it say? When you stand facing somebody with your arms folded, that appears to be putting up a barrier. In fact, facing head on in a difficult conversation can appear confrontational. Side on is much better. Not looking at someone, looking at others or elsewhere, carrying on what you're doing, are all signals of disinterest in the person speaking to you. In listening to others, your attentiveness shows that you communicate love. Christ was accused of many things by many people. His own brothers were against him. His hometown, the religious leaders, all sorts accused him. But there was never a hint that it was because of his appearance or his demeanour. Love gives due reverence and respect to our superiors. Love gives kindness and condescension to those considered less valued. Love gives courtesy and goodwill towards all men. Manners maketh man is a proverb that goes back a long, long way. But it's not in the Bible. Manners don't make man, but they are a mark of a godly man. Love is not unseemly. It means I take great care to present myself well to all, regardless of their status, their dwellings, their pleasures, their views. Love is not unseemly means I don't break established order for my own sake. Love is not unseemly means I recognise the nuances and complexities of society in time, place and culture. I act decently. I'm not a meddler in other people's business. I don't criticise or condemn. Love means you act in a proper way in all different relationships that you find in life. I'm sensitive and relate in the right way to someone who is a husband, a wife, or a parent, a child, a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter. Towards each, I am to be above reproach. I know we have the phrase, the great British eccentric, but to be odd is not a birthright. If what you do does not commend Christ and the gospel, then don't do it. I know we like self-expression and we mustn't, of course, hinder our artistic flair. But it is not right to paint your bin orange if everyone on your road has a grey one. Does what you drive make a statement contrary to the humble, modest Christian life? Is there anything that makes you an oddity? Let's commend Christ. Is it your gate that is hanging on its hinges? Is there rubbish in your garden? Let your garden be well looked after, for that speaks. And of course, while you're doing your gardening, you may have a chance to speak to those coming past. Lastly, and obviously, love that is not rude shows in our conversation, our words, our speech. As our nation turns from God, the result is a huge increase in rudeness. Ask a bus driver, a shop worker, or anyone dealing with the public. In fact, the pharmacist up at Linsworth is wearing a lapel cam because of the rudeness and aggression and dishonesty and the theft that she finds with the customers. What a state we have arrived at. There should never be a hint of rudeness amongst God's holy people. Don't slip. And the tongue is key. After the heart is converted, the next is the tongue. If we profess to follow Christ, then there must be a sharp distinction in our language. No profanity, no indecent language, no improper allusions, no double meanings, innuendos, coarseness. All these are offensive, corrosive, and destructive. So many will speak aggressively these days, abusively, rudely, just to anyone. Many have no regard for position, whether towards royalty, the prime minister, local leaders, the police, the boss, or the teacher at school. And of course, social media has made it so much easier to communicate with undue familiarity and rudely to those we have never met. And then, of course, there's the sickening blasphemies that are everywhere and directed against Jesus Christ. How the God-given tongue is used as a weapon against our loving Creator. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Your speech is the clearest expression of who you are. To love your brother, sister, neighbour means you are careful and deliberate with your words. Jesus was always. It says he committed no sin and no deceit or guile was found in his mouth. Jesus says, I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. How important our words are. Christ is our great example. We hear of those who speak of him, all were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips, the gracious words. So we as Christians are told, let our conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that we may know how to answer everyone. Some of those who profess to follow Christ hardly speak to others. Some are quite indifferent. Some talk about themselves and don't listen to others. Some are abrupt or critical and complaining. May that not be true for any of us here. Let us seek to be loving in our words, full of grace. How pleased the Lord would be with that. The Syriac version renders love is not rude as neither does it commit that which is shameful. In other words, avoiding all that is ungodly in speech. Yes, as Paul said to the Christians in Ephesus, it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. A Christian is different. Beware when you are among unbelievers, especially when there is peer pressure of a group. It's easy for the sake of acceptance and popularity to join in with gossip, to impress by exaggerating, to join in with flattery, to laugh at dirty, risque jokes. How hard it is to avoid being led into their grumbling and cynicism about the current state of this or that, the Trump campaign or COVID handling or whatever it might be. The commentator Gill says, a man concerned to show grace will be careful that no filthy and corrupt communication proceeds out of his mouth. Love is not rude. In our coarse society, the check and change can only come from Christians making sure nothing is said or done which is not seemly, fit, and decent. Christians will be different in every good sense. Ah, you say to yourself, oh, she's a Christian, he's a Christian. How can you tell? By their demeanour, by the way they present themselves, by the way they come across, by their manner. You're not always able to tell, but often you can. And so you listen for confirmation in their speech. How loving are you in these areas? One Christian out for a meal with his son thought, what a lovely evening this is. Good company, everything is perfect. The thought crossed his mind that he wasn't sinning. But then he thought, am I making every effort to present Christ to him? Am I doing so in how I appear, in my whole body language and demeanour, in my attitude and interest, and in my speech, in everything I say? That is the test. That is the standard. How loving are you? Love is not rude. Is everything about you reflecting the Lord Jesus Christ, your appearance, your demeanour, and your words? Do they all reflect Christ in you? I trust they do. May he be pleased as he looks at us. May the Lord help us. Amen.